Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
And so we plunge right back into Romans chapter 11 in our verse-by-verse exposition of this portion of God's Word. We are looking at verses 13 and 14 and 15. Paul said in verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them, for if their being cast away is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead?" So, Paul is describing his part in God's revealed plan of redemption. That is the grand picture, the overarching view of God's plan of redemption. And he says that his ministry to the Gentiles, for he was the apostle to the Gentiles, though he carried a tremendous burden in his heart for Israel because he was a Jew, but he says that his ministry to the Gentiles was designed, at least in part, to bring about the reconciliation of Israel. And he says that this is done in verse 14, "If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them." Paul had a very effective ministry to Gentiles. I surely don't need to convince you of that. Just read the account. Read the account of the book of Acts. Read the account in the epistles of Paul. And you realize that the Holy Spirit of God powerfully used Paul to evangelize and convert hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of Gentiles. Certainly many multiplied hundreds directly and multiplied thousands indirectly as those that were converted under the ministry of the Apostle Paul went out to evangelize and convert others by the work of the Spirit of God. So Paul had a tremendously effective ministry among Gentiles. You may recall that he says in his Galatian epistle that he was recognized at the Church of Jerusalem, particularly among the other leaders, the other apostles, that God had especially made Paul effective among Gentiles, just like God had especially made Peter effective among Jews. Another reminder of the sovereignty of God in all of this. People don't usually think of it that way. Oftentimes, when evaluating the ministry of men, what is evaluated is their overall success. They're a great minister, they're a faithful minister, if they're successful, that is, in terms of numbers and people who are attracted to their ministry, the growth of their churches, and so forth. And they're considered not to be faithful or not to be effective if they don't see a lot of visible success. Well, how are you going to deal with this one? Apparently, when Paul ministered among Jews, he didn't have much success. A little bit, but not much. And you trace his ministry, and that's exactly the case. One or two here, one or two there, but not much. But when he targeted Gentiles, he had tremendous success. So, how do you evaluate a ministry like that? Conversely, Peter, apparently, had tremendous success evangelizing Jews, not much when he targeted Gentiles. He was used to win a Gentile here and there. Remember Cornelius, for example. But, by and large, overall, his ministry was successful among Jews, not very successful among Gentiles, and Paul's just vice versa. How do you evaluate that? How do you explain that? It really turns upside down all of these human evaluation methods. God is sovereign in all of this. And God decides what the rate of success will be. And it isn't so much the preacher that's the key to it all. It is the Spirit of God. The preacher just needs to be faithful. God, the Holy Spirit, will use that ministry as it pleases him. But Paul's effective ministry to Gentiles was designed to provoke Jews to envy, and in that way, Paul became an instrument for the salvation of Jews, at least some of them. That's what he says in verse 14. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. Apparently, he was going to provoke to envy more than were saved. Some would be provoked to envy and would be angry, antagonistic. It would not drive them to Christ. But a few would be provoked to envy, and that would be the first step in their evaluating their true spiritual condition, their recognition that they were lost, their illumination by the Holy Spirit that salvation was to be found in Jesus Christ alone, and their eventual conversion. And all of this is just simply to remind us that every one of us are to be servants of God, available to be used in whatever way He chooses. We should delight in whatever God has given us to do, even if it is not what we might naturally prefer. If God had said to Paul, you pick out your assignment, you do whatever you want to do, what do you think Paul would have done? I think he would have said, I'm going to go to Israel. I'm going to preach the gospel to Israel. I have a great burden for my people. I want to see them saved. I'm going to focus upon them. That would have been his choice. God said, I'm making you an apostle to the Gentiles. I want you to focus on Gentiles. I want you to target Gentiles. And Paul didn't say, but Lord, that goes against my natural inclination. That goes against my burden. Shouldn't my calling be commensurate with my burden? If I have this burden, didn't you give me that burden? And doesn't that mean that I should pursue my burden, which means I should go to Israel? God said, I want you to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul said, yes, sir. What wilt thou have me to do, Lord? That was his attitude from the very beginning on the Damascus Road. Lord, who art thou? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? You just tell me I'm available. That's the Spirit. That's what's needed for all the servants of Christ. You just tell me what you want me to do. I'm available. But in the plan of God, the purpose of God, the amazing grace of God, the almost the humor of God, Paul's effective ministry among Gentiles in the long run actually made him more effective among Jews than he otherwise would have been. If Paul had ignored God's direction to go to the Gentiles and said, no, sir, my burden is for the Jews, and he headed to the Jews, he would not have had much success. Why not? You don't have any success apart from the blessing of God's Spirit upon your life. He couldn't have had much success because he would have been in open disobedience to the revealed will of God. God said, Gentiles. If Paul had said, no, sir, not so, Lord. What a contradiction of terms. Not so, Lord. I'm going to the Jews. He could have labored tirelessly, enthusiastically, zealously, with all of the ingenuity that his fertile mind could muster. He could have ministered among Jews, directing his ministry to Jews, concentrating upon Jews, lingering among Jews, and had very little results to show for it. He said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. If you say Gentiles, I'm going to Gentiles. And it turns out that his effective ministry among Gentiles also turned out to be an effective tool in the hands of God to reach Jews. How about that? if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. And even though the Jews, for the most part, seem to be very resistant to the gospel, don't ever write anybody off. No group of people, no class of people. Don't say, those people are so difficult, so hard, there's no use in going there. There's no use in wasting our efforts there. No use in trying to send people and expend money and energy trying to reach the Muslims. They're just too hard to reach. We'll go over here where people are easier to reach. Don't write anybody off. The commission is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not just go to the places where success seems most likely, where previous labors have reported high degrees of success. But you say, isn't the goal to win as many people as possible before the Lord comes? The goal is to be obedient and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and to leave the results to Him. And God will send some in places where there will be large harvests. And God will send some in places where there may be very meager harvests, or for a while at least a very meager harvest. Who knows what may happen down the road in the passing of time with the planting of that seed faithfully. Who knows when there might be a revival, a mushrooming revival among Muslims. Who knows when there will be a great revival among Jews. Who knows? And in the surprising way of God, we see that there will eventually be a revival in the church through Israel's renewal. Verse 15, for if their being cast away, that's Israel, is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Here's an argument similar to the one of verse 12. It's kind of sanctified logic here. Verse 12, Paul said, now if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And here in verse 15, he says, for if their being cast away is the reconciliation or reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? He's saying, if Israel's rejection brought salvation to the world, to the Gentile world, and it did, talking about bringing salvation to the world doesn't mean that all the world is going to be saved, but it brought salvation to the world as opposed to Israel. See again the way the Bible uses this word world as an antonym to Israel. Israel on the one hand, the world on the other hand. The gospel not just to Israel, the gospel to the world. Propitiation not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. But if Israel's rejection brought salvation to the world, and it did, what shall Israel's restoration be but life from the dead, which I take to mean a greater bestowment of blessing? Significant spiritual revival that's going to boomerang back to the church, back to the Gentile world, as a result of this yet future revival that's going to take place in Israel. This is amazing. Round and round we go. Wave after wave of blessing. Paul goes to the Gentiles, has great success, provokes Israel to envy, and eventually that results in a great ingathering from Israel. The great ingathering from Israel becomes a launching pad for an even greater ingathering among the Gentiles. I'm still watching to see how all this unfolds. It will be exciting indeed. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.